out of a sky of unbroken grey, and her wet hair lay in rain-heavy, rain-darkened strands over her face. "Poor child," whispered a woman in the second row, and pressed up close to her husband for shelter beneath an inappropriately bright and cheerful umbrella. "She may have her crown, her estates, her jewellery, gold and silver, but they're not much use to her now, are they?"
"Nothing but bad luck," murmured her husband.
He held the umbrella over her so that the rain began to drip down the back of his neck.
"The whole family, nothing but bad luck."
Just a few steps behind the little princess, walking straight-backed and alone, came her only living relative, her uncle, Norlin. From now on, he would be dealing with the business of government in her name. Norlin had instructed a black-clad court official to walk 2 paces behind him with an umbrella. His hair was immaculate, elegantly styled, its silver-blue sheen in contrast to his still young face. But his mouth was twisted with sorrow, and everyone in the crowd could see how deeply he, too, was grieving.
"She's lucky to have him there at any rate," the woman whispered, as the government ministers filed past them in the cortege. "The little girl won't be completely alone." "Let's hope they'll get on," her husband whispered back.
The woman brushed aside his misgivings.
"At least her guardian's a relative," she whispered, "and not a stranger. After all, it'll be more than 4 years till she comes of age, poor mite."
A young man in front of them turned and frowned.
"Can you keep your voices down a bit?" he demanded. "This is hardly the time for a chat. If you want to talk, go home and do it."
Cameras whirred, and 2 helicopters circled high above the funeral procession. The princess was already well out of sight, and yet the crowd remained standing there, motionless, silent and sad. Only when the 10-gun salute rang out from Cemetery Hill to tell the country that its king had been laid to rest alongside his wife in the royal tomb, did a collective sigh pass through the crowd of mourners, and they began to make their way home.
"If we hurry," said the woman as the crowd dispersed, "we can get the bus at 4:15, and I don't care what you say. With all the misery she's had to bear, it's a blessing the little one still has her uncle. But if I was superstitious, I'd say there was a curse on this family."
"Never mind that now. There's our bus," cried the man.
He folded the umbrella and began to run.
"Come on, we can still catch it."
They pushed their way through to the back of the bus with a crowd of other mourners and eventually managed to find seats.
"It's a good thing you're not superstitious," the man said,
finally responding to his wife's comments.
"A curse? We're not living in a fairy tale. If people encounter trouble and strife, my dear, they've generally brought it on themselves."
"Milena," said Norlin.
He had insisted that he and the princess should travel back to the palace together in the royal limousine.
"Milena, what can I do to comfort you?"
The little princess sat there expressionless, as if she hadn't even heard him.
"The best thing is to get back into your routine, Milena."
He was sitting a little apart from her because her coat was so wet.
"Today and tomorrow, you'll stay in the palace so that both of us can sign the thank you letters for people's condolences."
He leant forwards.
"Did you hear me, Milena? After that, you'll go back to school, back to your friends. That'll help take your mind off all this. And in 2 months' time, it'll be your 14th birthday."
Slowly, very slowly, Milena.